response.
Is your business struggling to be seen, not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for murders that defy explanation, mystery seeking exploration, and shocking secrets that will leave you breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops, and neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Tailfin Road locomotive. You can polish my chrome so clean. We can fly off into the sunset together. Rusty old American dream. Still running. Rusty old American dream.
Yes, indeed. ASE certified technician Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive is with us this morning on the horn. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning.
How are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good, too. I was looking at that forecast thinking this might be a good day to wash and wax a car. What do you think?
I think that's a great idea and important. Don't forget to, when you do wash the car, to wash all the corners, under the wheel well and all that sort of stuff to get it cleaned up for the season. And that'll help you take care of or keep the idea of rust starting in under control. So don't forget to clean the corners.
Yeah, that's a good point. And waxing a car, I don't know how many people do that anymore. I kind of enjoy it, as you know, but that's got to help a little given the winter salt, etc. here in the area, right?
Well, it does. You know, when you wax a car, what you're really doing is a big part of what you're doing is cleaning it. You're taking all the oxidation off the paint. And the oxidation that's on the paint is actually what holds a lot of the moisture, which of course causes the rust. So if you get all of that oxidation off the paint, then the car stays drier. And of course, a dry car is the trick to keeping rust under control.
Absolutely. If you have any kind of a car care question for Dan, and you need to take your vehicle into your favorite dealer, your favorite shop for some service, but you want to know what may be wrong with it, being armed with more information is always better than having less information. So call in your question or text your question to Dan. Same number applies for the calls or the text, 651-989-9226, 651-989-9226. I would imagine the guys at Lloyd's have been putting on snow tires this week.
Yeah, it's snow tires. The concept is starting. We haven't done too much of it yet. Everybody talk so much about. Don't get in too big of a hurry to get your snow tires on, because when the weather's warm and when the roads are warm, it's really hard on the tires. They have a tendency to wear out. People have a tendency to wait until the weather is down in the freezing area, and then the mad rush is on. So I think probably now, listening to the forecast, I think probably now the forecast is appropriate that you can go ahead and schedule to get your snow tires installed, and that's probably a good idea. I think the warm weather sounds like it's over for the season.
Yeah, today and tomorrow will be about it, I think. Well, who knows? You never know.
Sadly.
And but like you've said before, you don't want to to use your snow tires when it's too warm because of that soft rubber on the tires. All right. We had a text, and maybe you can help me figure this out. This came in earlier today. The texter says, I accidentally poured summer bug fluid, I'm not sure what that is, to my windshield wash reservoir. I realize now, texter says, I have to remove it before it freezes. Is there a drain plug on that reservoir? First of all, what do you suppose that fluid is that he put in there? He
I don't know. Maybe it's something that makes the window solvent more concentrated to get so that it will take the bugs off your windshield along with it. But perhaps that's not built, and maybe there's a warning on there that it's not made for winter use. In other words, that while it's a strong detergent, it also will freeze. So, but to answer the question, no, there is not exactly a drain plug on it, but a couple things you could do. One is just use it, you know, as you're driving. Use it up. Yeah, just choose to use it up, and you're not going to hurt anything. The washer pump is made for that, so go ahead and use it up before the weather turns cool, and then just refill it with the proper fluid. So that's an option. If you have easy access to it, one thing that you could do is simply take the rubber hose off the washer fluid pump, and if you do that, the fluid will all drain out too. Yeah. So that's a couple of options, but I would just use it. I think, you know, you have a couple of days to use it up, and you should be able to easily do that.
Excellent. Yeah. 651-989-9226. Again, that same number applies to your phone calls for Dan or the text questions. And we have a bunch of those yet too. There's one text that says, I don't hear much about changing spark plugs anymore. Is there a reason for that?
Well, it's the fancy spark plugs that the manufacturers are putting in the cars. They're made to go a long ways, oftentimes 100,000 or 120,000 miles, which is remarkable considering back when I started my career, we changed spark plugs every 12,000 miles. They've been worn out. And so that's amazing. But spark plugs still do need to be changed. And one of the things that is a concern, especially on some particular models, is to leave the spark plugs in the cylinder head that long. It sometimes creates a problem getting them out. So that's one thing that I do warn people about. For sure, do not go beyond the manufacturer's, you know, recommendation on changing spark plugs. And if you don't drive very much, don't leave those in there too many years. Beyond the date change also because they can be difficult to get out of the cylinder head.
What do you have to do?
If they get stuck in the cylinder head, sometimes what happens is the threads from the cylinder head just come right out with the spark plug, and then there's no threads to hold the new spark plug in. And then what we have to do is drill that and retap it and put a Healy coil. It's basically building new threads in the cylinder head, and we actually do that quite often. So beware of that, to change the spark plugs as needed. And also, oftentimes the manufacturer recommends putting a little bit of lubricant on the threads of those spark plugs when you put them back in. So don't forget to do that. If you're changing the spark plugs yourself,
you're kind of an anti-seize agent or something like that.
Yep,
I remember
that's
those.
And a high temp one because right at the cylinder head, the spark plug gets pretty hot, so it needs to be a high temp anti-seize compound that you put on the threads.
Okay. Before we break, I want to go to the phones. If you have a car care question, you can call it in or text it in 651-989-9226. Eric is calling in from East Bethel. Good morning, Eric. What's your question for Dan?
Well, by golly, good morning to you from the beautiful, lovely, incorporated sand trap we call East Bethel up here this morning.
Yes.
Well, anyway, I got a 3/4-ton Chevrolet pickup, and I use it during harvest season and whatnot, but got it the other day, started up, drove around, and the right rear brake, the drum got really hot, And I'm wondering if there's a caliper that's stuck or a shoe that's needing to be replaced or a spring that's possibly broken.
Well, that's all of that is a possibility. I'm not sure on that truck if it has disc brakes or drum brakes, and you can probably look through the wheel and see what that is, which it is. But
yep, the rear on that pickup is it's a drum brake on the rear end of that pickup. It's a 75 Chevrolet 3/4 ton that we usually use.
Yeah, so a possibility, something broke in there. That's certainly that, you know, a spring rusted off, and so that the brake shoe is rubbing all the time and causing it to get hot. Or if you ever have used the parking brake, that's another common problem on an older truck, that the cables have gotten rusty, and so the parking brake is not releasing properly. And that can be a bit of a challenge if that's the case, or in any case, when the brake shoe is stuck against the drum, sometimes it's a challenge to get that drum off, and sometimes it comes off in pieces by the time you are able to get it off to see what's going on, because a big rust ridge will have formed on the inside of that drum, and so getting it off can be a challenge. So I guess my advice to you is when you go after this, make sure you have enough time to deal with all of the trouble that you might open up, the big can of worms you might open up in the process. So it might get more involved than simply unadjusting a shoe or something like that.
Okay. All right, Eric, good luck with that. Quick break is in order here, Dan. If you have a question for Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive, call it in or text it in, same number, 651-989-9226. We'll get back. We grab some text messages, too, when we come back. Good morning. Welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show. Denny Long here on this end, and Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive on the automotive on the other end. And, Dan, for those folks that don't know, tell us about the Lloyd's and where you guys are located.
We are located at 982 Grand Avenue in St. Paul, right between Lexington and Victoria. You can find us on the web at LloydsAutomotive.net, L-L-O-I-D-S, LloydsAutomotive.net. You can give a call. We'll be there this morning till noon at 651-228-1316, or I'm sure you can find us on Facebook, too.
I do that all the time. See you on Facebook.
Oh, good.
Yes, matter of fact. All right, if you want to... Yes.
Go ahead and friend us on Facebook, and then you'll get all of that communication from us. And we send out stuff quite regularly.
Yeah, good stuff. All right, 651, our number is 651-989-9226. That's for the phone call question or the text question. Same number applies. So use one or the other. All right, let's see. We do have to catch up on some text messages here, Dan. What do you believe, texter wants to know, is E85 harder on engine components as... Where did it go here? As some mechanics believe. I know it's a little bit of a political question, but...
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
I think that it's... No, I think that the cars are engineered and manufactured for that, and never at our shop has that question... You know, if somebody comes in with an engine repair of some sort, never has the question, oh, have they been using E85 come up. It's just not an issue at all. So, you know, in my world, we never talk about it. So, I think that if it was hard on an engine, you know, we'd be telling our customers not to do that. And we don't do that. If your car is designed for E85 and if you like using E85, then it's right for you. One warning that I do have is if your car is not built for E85, don't use it. It won't run on it. It takes special engineering for the vehicle to actually run on it. If you put E85 in a car that's not built for it, you'll have trouble.
Oh yeah, so don't do that. But you found no evidence of any negative issues. That's good.
No, I don't. Yeah, there's no negative. I don't think it has any negative effect on the engine at all. So go ahead and use it if you believe in it. That's great.
All right.
Quite honestly, I kind of do. I think, you know, it's good for our we're an agricultural state, and it's good for our agricultural state. So I'm glad that it works. I'm glad they figured it out, and I think it's a good thing.
Excellent. Dan, hang on. We're going to get back to the phone callers and text messages. Keep in mind, Dan is going to be here only, about another 15 minutes. We make way for Jack Farrell's Wine Chat. So don't wait. If you have a car care question, call it in or text it in. So hang on, Dan. We'll take this bit of a break here. Welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show around every Saturday, 7 o'clock hour. Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive is with us, answering your calls by phone and by text as usual. Let's grab a phone call, Dan, and then we'll pick up on some text messages. Jerry is calling from Minneapolis, I believe. Jerry, what is your question for Dan?
Yes, I have a 07 Toyota Prius, the lift back release button on the back that you touch to open and release it. Those buttons deteriorate and need replacing. Are you familiar with that at all, Dan?
I am. We change those quite commonly.
Any idea on a rough price on that?
Oh, I don't know much about the pricing. Of course, sometimes the trick is to get them open, but if yours is still working, that's good news. That easy touch button is kind of handy when it's working, but like you say, that the plastic or the rubber cover over it deteriorates and it gets moisture in it, and that ruins it. I don't think it's a big labor project to replace that. You just have to take that inner panel off that back tailgate, and that's pretty easy to do. You just have to get all those little snaps off, and then once you have access to it, it's pretty simple to run the wires through, plug them in, and put in a new switch. So if you want to take it on yourself, I think it's pretty doable.
Oh, good.
And I don't imagine that switch is real expensive either. So don't put it off. There's no good reason to put it off. Go ahead and get it fixed, especially while the weather's still
nice. Yes, yes.
Go ahead and do that.
All right, Jerry, thanks for the call. Texter wants to, we were talking about washing your vehicle. Texter wants to know, you get this question a lot. What's the best way to wash a van windshield inside or outside for a streak-free clean? That's an issue sometimes, especially the inside, right?
Well, and I'm a nut about that.
Yes.
when I'm driving into the sun, if I can see any streaks, it drives me nuts. So I've found the best trick is to use a good quality cleaner of some sort. And there's all sorts of them out there, but use a good quality cleaner and use good clean towels when you're doing it. Either I've actually found that paper towels work best for me because there's, you know, sometimes if you use a cloth towel to do it, there'll be some detergent or something on it that'll leave a little bit of a residue behind. So I think a good clean paper towel and plenty of cleaner, and don't be afraid to do it two or three times when you're doing it.
Oh, that's true.
Be sure that you get it right and do it frequently. You know, all of that plastic inside of your car emits a gassy material, and so your car can be completely closed up and you're wondering how the windshield gets so dirty so quickly, and it's just that residue comes off the plastic and gets on the glass and needs to be cleaned off. So yeah. It needs to be cleaned off frequently. So at least three or four times a year, don't you think, Danny?
Yes.
Has to be cleaned.
Yes, and I use paper towels and what do you call it? The microfiber cloth sometimes.
Oh, there you go. Yeah,
helps too.
Yeah, that's another good one. And when you wash those microfiber cloths, don't use any fabric softener or anything like that, because that leaves that keeps them from being perfectly clean.
That's a good point. Yeah. All right. So people are going to be washing vehicles today, maybe.
You know, you're a bigger nut about keeping your vehicle clean than I am. So some of these questions you should answer because you're a pro.
Oh, I have no life.
Yeah, I know.
Not really. I have a good life. This text, Dan, kind of rambles here, so bear with me. It'll jump around. Texter says, I have a 2005 Chev 3500 Express van with a V8 Vortex engine, 256,000 miles. Recently, while driving on the highway, it stopped running. No warning lights came on, nothing in codes when checking later. As I am coasting on the highway, I was able to put the engine in neutral and restart. Why do you think and what's happening?
Well, that's tricky when we don't have any information to go on. Rarely do I see a fuel-related problem like that come and go. You know, that a fuel pump, usually when it quits, a fuel pump fails when the vehicle's not running and you go to start it. So that's the most common place for that. So because you don't have the information, that's not where I would start looking. Where I would start looking is the spark control. And I would need to study a little bit on what the main inputs are for that spark control. What year did it say what year it was?
Let's see. Let me back up here. I think it does. Yeah, it's a 2005 Chev Express, 3500.
Yeah. So there's several inputs, sensors, that the vehicle needs to produce a spark to keep the car running down the highway. And we find quite often, especially on an older vehicle like that with a lot of miles, that oftentimes it turns out to be in a connector, where a connector to the crank sensor, or I'm not even sure what sensors without looking it up are the main ingredients to produce a spark. There's a module somewhere that would cause it, and there's a whole bunch of connectors in between. But oftentimes we'll find when a vehicle just intermittently quits like that, that it's a connector that's causing the trouble. And those are the kinds of things that we would look for. But boy, when you don't have any information, that it's too bad that when it failed, it didn't set a code and at least give us some direction. Because right now the window's pretty wide open, and there's an awful lot of things that could cause that, and we really don't know where to start.
Yeah, I should say
that's not a very good answer for you. I'm sorry, but when we don't have any information, it's really hard to figure that out.
Tough detective work there.
Yeah.
Texter Dan, I know we just have a couple of minutes to go. My texter says this: 02 Subaru WRX sounds bad at idle. A knocking or a rattle that goes away as soon as I drive away. I just hear it at idle.
Yeah, that's pretty common on Subarus. And what happens is on the pistons, they get the little pin that connects the piston to the crank rod gets a little bit of looseness in it, and you hear a little bit of that piston flap when the vehicle is at idle. And if you just raise it up off idle just a little bit, that kind of rattle goes away. And boy, there's no good fix other than, you know, taking the engine apart. And the good news is I've heard that rattle going on. If this is what it is, I'd need to hear it for sure. But if it's that piston slap rattle, I've heard those do that for a long, long time without any more serious complications. So while you don't like it and while it doesn't sound normal, it's also something that you don't really have to worry about because it's quite common on those.
Oh, okay.
They go a long ways making that noise.
Dan, maybe we could get you to answer this in 60 seconds or less. It says, texter, Dan, you do a great job in the show. I'm going to L.A. to look at a rust-free 85 Volvo 240 wagon with stick and turbo. It's been used and maintained, 145,000 miles. Anything I should be particularly worried about? What should they do? They should probably get it checked out.
They should. You need to have that inspected by, you'll have to do a little research to find a shop like Lloyd's in L.A. and have it inspected. Somebody who knows what they're doing regarding old Volvos, and have it inspected. Look for common problems. I can't tell you particularly what to look for, but one thing would be, you know, check for leaks and you know, just general maintenance, all of those sorts of things. But I would sure take that in and have a pro take a look at it and be sure that it's worth the investment.
All right, very good. I'm going to save some text messages we didn't have time for, and we'll begin the show next week with those. What do you say?
That sounds great.
All right, well, have a good week, Dan. Give us that phone number for Lloyd's.
Give us a call at 651-228-1316.
Excellent. Have a good week, Dan. We'll talk to you next Saturday.
Thanks, Denny.
Bye-bye.
Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.